So a man was driving down a country road, and as he was driving, he noticed that there were just beautiful pastures and streams and gorgeous scenery all around, and he came to a point where there were some sheep, and decided because he wasn't in a hurry and it was a beautiful day that he'd stop and check out the sheep. And so he parked and got out of his car, and he's taking a look at the sheep, and he looks at them over the pasture, and he realizes something seems a little off. He notices that there are some sheep who are doing fine and they're eating the green grass and they're up on the hillside, and then there are other sheep who are wallowing in the mud and they're thin and their coats look awful and mangy. And just a little bit off to the side, he notices that there is a German shepherd dog having lamb chops for lunch. He's looking at this sight, and he's wondering, and up comes a big, beautiful Mercedes-Benz and pulls alongside him, and the man gets out and looks at the man who'd been watching the sheep and says, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just wondering about this flock." "Oh, those are my sheep," says the man. "Oh, you're the shepherd." "Yep, I sure am." "Well, tell me about your flock." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what, sheep are easy keepers. You don't have to do much. And so I spend most of my time in town. I got another job because sheep take care of themselves. I did get me a dog, though, German Shepherd. They help with the sheep." The first man looks over and he says, "Yeah, I see your dog's having lamb chops over there for lunch." "Oh, yep. He's sort of ornery that way. Every once in a while, he eats one." "Well, I noticed that some of your sheep are very fat and they're doing fine. Their coats look great and woolly and fluffy, and others aren't doing so well." The shepherd says, "Well, they're ornery buggers. Some of them are a little bigger and stronger, and they don't let the other ones eat the grass. But it'll all work out in the end." "Well, how many sheep do you have?" "Oh, I don't know. I had 300 or 400 a couple of years ago, but I haven't counted them lately. I reckon there's plenty." The man who stopped to look at the sheep then asked the shepherd another important question. "Which of these sheep matter most?" The shepherd looked back at him and said, "Well, they all matter, guess, but the ones who matter the most are the ones who make it. Don't you think?" The prophet Ezekiel was writing at a time of terrible conflict in the life of Israel. We're told in the book of Ezekiel that the prophet actually saw the exile happen, the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of its people, and the hunger, the starving, the desperation, the lack of resources. And Ezekiel puts forth this story and says that it has a lot to do with a misunderstanding of God's holiness. Here in the 34th chapter, we hear God talking about the importance of the work of shepherding. The 44th chapter begins with a condemnation of the shepherds of the people. Shepherds who were busy getting for themselves and not busy enough taking care of sheep. The portion that we read for this morning then also talks about God's vocation as shepherd, God as caregiver of God's people, and the sheep themselves, their vocations as sheep. God, in essence, was saying that the shepherds of Israel had been something like the bizarre shepherd in my story, a shepherd who was taking what he needed from the flock and allowing the flock to act in bizarre and unhelpful ways, even allowing the dog whose job it was to care for the flock to feed on the flock. This is no way to shepherd. And as Ezekiel tells the people of Israel that it seems like God's holiness has gone from you because you have pushed God away by living unholy lives. You have not looked to the sheep, the flock of Israel, and cared for each and every one. There are consequences to living life like that. Just as I asked Sydney this morning, if you had sheep, which ones would you care for? The prophet Ezekiel asks us, as we look around our community, as we look around the world, are there sheep, are there people, are there creatures who are worthy of exclusion, who don't deserve our care? The answer that Ezekiel gives, the answer that God speaks in the prophet Ezekiel, is there are no sheep, there are no community members who are worthy of exclusion. There are none who don't deserve care. God says, you've gone through a terrible time, and yet there will come a day when I will come and I will shepherd you, and I will go to all the places to which you've been scattered, and I will bring you back together again. I will gather the flock. Not just some. Not just the ones who are nearby. Not just the ones who are easy to get to. But all of those who have been scattered will be gathered together. I will provide for you green grass, clean water, a safe pasture. Not just some, but all. God judges the shepherd. God steps forward and says, I will show you what a good shepherd does. God then says, my servant David, and in Ezekiel's case, we mean descendants of the house of David, will be good shepherds. And then God also judges between sheep and sheep and says, if I had a flock where some of the sheep were causing trouble for others of the sheep, if some sheep were getting fat, because they were taking away everything that would help the other sheep, that would be an opportunity for judgment. That would present a need for judgment. I've shared before that when I lived in Southern Africa in Lesotho, that I knew shepherds. That herding animals was one of the primary vocations of people who lived in rural Lesotho. And oftentimes, because I love to hike and backpack, I would sleep in shepherd huts and get to meet shepherds. And they always, always knew every single sheep. And they always, always made sure that the sheep weren't harming one another or the grass or the water. Always. Why? If the shepherds owned the sheep, their very livelihood depended upon it. The health of the sheep and the health of the shepherd were connected. If the shepherd didn't own the sheep, then the shepherd's livelihood depended upon it, because the owner wanted to make sure that each and every valuable sheep continued to produce wool. And that shepherd would lose his job if he didn't care for each and every one. In the prophet Ezekiel, whether you're a shepherd or whether you're a sheep, you've always got to be thinking beyond yourself. You've got to be thinking of others and what's being provided for them, and whether you're taking something away from them and whether they're taking something away for you. There is a connectedness in Ezekiel. And all of that connects to God's holy presence. What the prophet tells us is that when I am present in the midst of a people, I shepherd them with equity and with care, and there are no lean sheep who are pushed aside and given dirty water and substandard grazing. None that are butted by the more powerful. God's flock, humanity, the earth, is not intended, Ezekiel says, to be some domain where some humans rise to the top and other humans are trampled to the bottom. If we think about ourselves as sheep of God's flock, we should understand that there is provision and care for us all. Now let's leave the sheep metaphor behind for a moment. And let's ask ourselves, what kind of communities do we live in? And what kind of arrangements have been formed around us. Is it possible that there are some people who are under God's love and care who have taken more and others who have received less? Maybe the others have gotten less because they're a little weaker. They couldn't get high enough on the hill to eat the grass. Maybe they're a little smaller. They couldn't get deep enough into the water to get a drink. Maybe it's because they're a little slower. They couldn't hobble around the rocks in time. Or maybe it's because the strong ones are a little grittier or a little stronger or a little faster. What's happening day by day by day? All you have to do is listen and read and watch the news is that the lean sheep are getting leaner and the fat sheep are getting fatter. When that happened in Israel, God said, "That's unholy. That's not a place I can be anymore." As we seek God's presence, as we proclaim God's love, I really think we're called to understand what kind of pasture are we in and how can we be responsible not only as shepherds, but as sheep? How can we be responsible as leaders, but as citizens and community members? When I was reading about the dirty, trampled water, I couldn't help but think about Flint, Michigan. What kind of a nation do we live in where we can have whole communities of people drinking poisoned water and receiving bills for that poisoned water at the same time, while others have completely healthy, high-quality water? Something's unholy about that. As I was reading about the trampled sources of food and water, I couldn't help but think about many of our communities, the poorest communities, that are right next to factories or dumps that are just exuding tons and tons of pollutants and harming the people in those communities. As I was reading about the responsibility of shepherds for every single person, I couldn't help but think about the system where if you have money to offer your shepherd, you get better grass and better water and better service and better responsiveness. And I began to wonder if Ezekiel is not offering us a parable of our own lives. Even though it's thousands of years old, it still matters to us today. We have to ask ourselves, which sheep don't count? Which people don't count? Which people don't count to God? Is it the female people that don't matter to God? Some days it's hard to tell the way we act. Is it the transgendered people who don't matter to God? Some days it's hard to tell the way we do. Is it the hungry people who don't matter? Is it the brown people who don't matter? Or the poor people who don't matter to God? By now you realize that those are all silly questions to ask from a theological point of view, aren't they? Of course, all people matter to God. What Ezekiel asked the people of Israel and is asking us today is, if they all matter to God, how can we celebrate God's holiness and live in God's presence if they don't all matter to us? What will it mean for us to celebrate, to look to, and to be a part of that day when all people matter to us? just as they matter to God. There are lots of ways that this could happen, I suppose. One might be that we could take the laissez-faire approach. We could say to ourselves, well, this is not the way that we'd like for it to be, but God is God and we're not, and someday God will make it all right. And so as long as we keep saying God's name and eating the Lord's Supper, someday everything will be okay. And yet that's not the way that the prophet Ezekiel talks about it, nor was it the way that Jesus talked about it. Jesus had this thing that he said that sometimes people forget, but Jesus announced the reign of God, in the Greek, the basileia tou theou, the empire of God. And Jesus said, it's here, it's arrived, it's at hand. The time is now. So start living as if a holy God is in your midst. Start living as if all people mattered. Start living as if God has already begun to gather the scattered flock. Sometimes we forget that because it's hard to live that way. I got to be honest with you. If I'm a sheep and I've got any strength at all and I've got any gumption at all and I see that the dirty and trampled water is down here and that some sheep have to have that, and I see that the beautiful water is upstream and the green grass is there, my first thought, it's instinctual, I guess, is I'm going where the good stuff is. Even if I have to wade in and muddy the water, even if that means the folks downstream not get what they need. In some ways, you might say, who could blame you? And yet the prophet says to us, even the sheep have to think about the care of the flock. How can we share what we have, our opportunities, status, education, food, water, political power? How can we share what we have with others who are members of our community, so that we have a strong community, so that everyone is taken care of? And also, how can we demand that our leaders understand that? Good shepherds don't allow some sheep to get fat while other sheep fade away toward death, starvation, irrelevance. Good shepherds care for the entire flock, every last one. Jesus tells a shepherd story, right? He takes it completely to the extreme. He says, imagine you had 100 sheep and just one is lost. What would you do? You would do everything you could to get that one back. Because a flock's not a flock unless everyone is there. Everything we do to celebrate and proclaim God's holiness in the world is somehow, Ezekiel tells us, tied up with everything we do to acknowledge that we are one flock and that all people matter, count, deserve care, deserve resources. The poor ones matter, count, deserve resources. The slow ones, the tall ones, the wide ones, the narrow ones, the brown ones, the pink ones, all people, the documented and undocumented ones, the young ones and the old ones. Community care is community responsibility. In this congregation, we participate in many different ways in community care. We provide space in our facilities for lots of things that go on throughout the week. Much of our giving goes to caring for people against whom all of the odds seem to have been stacked. We're working to try and support families who are trying to be a part of early childhood education so that their children have a chance to survive and to thrive in the world. And yet it seems like the efforts of little congregations scattered all over the place aren't enough. We need to cooperate with others. We need to realize that as community members we have responsibilities, and we need to recall that if there is a good shepherd, that the other shepherds must be held accountable. This is what community life looks like for people of faith. Community life for people of faith means trying to understand care for everyone. But I'm just one person. How can I make a difference? Make sure, to the best of your ability, that when you use resources, you're not trampling resources for somebody else. It might be somebody else who lives right here in your own community, but it might be somebody who lives a little further away. It might be somebody not even born yet. Sometimes we forget to think about time, but shepherds always think about time. I'll tell you what, every time I've ever spoken with a shepherd, that shepherd knows how old every sheep is and which ones are pregnant and which ones are not and which ones he wants to get pregnant soon and which ones he hopes don't because they've got issues. Because shepherds are always thinking about the generations to come. God is always thinking about the generations to come. We need always to be thinking about the generations to come. Let's not muddy the waters for those who come after us, for our children and our grandchildren and the children and grandchildren of our community members. And in the public square, raise our voices. One sheep is hard to hear in a crowd. But two, that starts to be something. And three is almost like a commotion. And four or more is a downright cacophony of sheep. Once they start bleating and others hear their voices and their needs are known, shepherds begin to notice. The book of Ezekiel is about community life. It's about what happens to community life when people forget God's holiness. They talk about God's holiness, but they do not participate in living as members of a community called by a holy God. We're asked today by the prophet, and we're called today by our good shepherd, to understand that we are a community, a called people of a holy God who cares for every last human being and creature on this planet. Some have said there will always be fat sheep and there will always be lean sheep. And to some extent, I think that's true. And because that's true, we can never stop holding the fat sheep accountable and helping the lean sheep find pasture. Because that's true, we can never turn our eyes away so that we don't see our sisters and brothers in need and so that we don't understand ourselves as one flock of a loving shepherd together. The hard thing about the prophet Ezekiel is this. Not many people read the prophet Ezekiel all the way through. Not everybody has a stomach for it. Things have to get really, really bad before people start changing so that things can start slowly again to get really, really good. If you can make it to the end of the book of Ezekiel, if you can make it through the sheep who are being destroyed, if you can make it through the valley of dry bones in the 37th chapter, if you can make it just past that, you'll find a promise. A promise from a God who never fully gives up on God's people. A promise from a God who cares about each and every one. A promise from a God who looks to the future and knows that the flocks that have been scattered can be gathered again. A promise that we as followers of Jesus Christ understand began to be fulfilled when Jesus of Nazareth walked and talked and fed and healed and loved. A promise of which we have been called to be a part. Let's not forget, God cares and loves for each of us, just as God cares and loves for each other one around the world, and that we're called to live together, to be accountable to one another, to share resources, to share love, to share this space that we call the earth. Our home. There should never be fat sheep who are fat because there were lean sheep who are made lean. As we move forward into this next phase of our own church community life and our own national and global community life, we need to understand a few facts. I'm just going to leave you with a couple of things. One is that I was raised to understand that I lived in the land of the free, where anybody could be anything they wanted to be. My grandma told me that. My mom told me that. My teachers told me that. That's exciting. It's a wonderful story. And I've been able to learn and to travel and to do, and that's been very exciting for me. But it turns out that statistically, we're one of those countries in the developed world where that's the least true of all countries. The fewest people in our country of all the developed world are able to have that continuing upward mobility to be anything that they want to be. It's more likely that if you're born and raised in the bottom quintile of income, that you're not going to get out of that or far out of that. It's more likely that if you're in the second or the third, that you might just stay stagnant or go down. And it's more and more and more likely each and every day. These are structural issues. It's about sheep. It's about shepherds. It's about pasture. It's about resource allocation. And I was also raised to believe that we weren't like those other countries where there were hoity-toity people at the top, and then there were people who were being pushed down at the bottom. Because everyone's equal, and we all have equal rights. But it turns out that the Gini coefficient, the measurement the economists use to judge the distance from the richest rich and the poorest poor in the United States of America, is one of the most out-of-whack Gini coefficients in the entire world. The fat sheep keep getting fatter, and the lean sheep keep getting leaner, and the water keeps getting muddied, and the grass keeps getting trampled. It feels like we're somewhere around chapter 36 of Ezekiel. We could scream, we could holler, we could pack it up, we could go home, or we could keep reading. We could listen to the words of the prophet of a holy God. We can accept that God as our shepherd. We can reach out to one another. And remember that each and everyone has value, deserves love, needs resources. And even though it feels like it's not the instinctual thing to do, we can share. We can open our arms. We can open our hearts. The prophets talk about hearts from time to time. In the prophets, we hear that unfortunately, sometimes our hearts turn to stone. When that happens, God has one recourse, it seems. Open heart surgery. Walter Brueggemann, in a book about Ezekiel, calls it organ transplant surgery. Removing the heart of stone and putting back in there a heart of flesh. If our hearts change and we share with one another, with each and every one, if our structures change and we welcome people into the economy of resources, the world will change and we'll see and know God's holiness. And our children, our grandchildren, and those who come after them will know that there is a good shepherd among us, and that there are green pastures and clear, cool water, and there is a place for everyone. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.